very fitting.
Yeah, pretty predictable. I'd call it predictable.
Yep.
And we're nothing if not predictable on the Bob Almanac. It's always going to be about 20 minutes. We're always going to have some audio in there, some stupid jokes, maybe one or two things that are actually funny, and that's about it. Mm-hmm. Who is the official Diet Mountain Dew provider to today's Bob Almanac?
Well, thank you so much, Scotty, and along with his wife, Julie. I don't think Julie was here, but Scotty, next time you come, just poke your head in the studio. I'm usually sleeping if the mic isn't on. So
where's the bow? He didn't put any bow. He didn't put a bow on it. Nothing festive.
But Julie made chocolate chip cookies. He bought some donuts. We got all kinds of goodies. And DMD for Friday morning.
We have quite a few cookies all of a sudden in the Bob break room.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, it's been just an influx. We got some from the Minnesota Lynx, as we are your home for the Lynx. That was quite what we would call a cookie bouquet.
Yes, it was.
A cookie bouquet with cookies the shape of uniforms with numbers and names on them and basketballs and various other things.
Then an accompanying tin full of different varieties.
Cookies by somebody. Was it Cookies by Denise or Danielle?
Fred. I can't remember who it was.
We're going to start today's Almanac with an Almanac salute.
Draw to Biner. Ernest Biner.
Fumble
the ball, and Denver has recovered. Oh, my.
That was kind of his signature call, the oh, my.
Yeah.
Dick Enberg, dead at 82.
That was an untimely fumble for Biner.
It was very untimely. That's one of those things where that haunted him for years against the Denver Broncos.
Oh.
The 87 AFC title game.
Yes.
And there he is working with his buddy Merlin Olsen. Yep. I didn't know Jim Rich had met him. I'd like to, maybe see if he shared any stories about portraying either he was Father Murphy.
Yes.
Or John Garvey.
On Little House on the Prairie. Yeah, that would have been
a neighbors
treat
to the Ingles. But Dick Enberg called 10 Super Bowls, 28 Wimbledons, and 8 NCAA men's college basketball championship games. And that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Wow.
He did just about everything else.
One of the good guys.
He worked with Bud Collins.
Oh, in tennis.
On the tennis on the Wimbledon. You know, he was a little bonkers. Net cord! Today is Friday, December 22nd, 356th day of the year. 9 left to go. We are now in single digits. This date, 1894. Speaking of golf, Dick Enberg, he called some golf in his day.
Yep.
And the USGA, United States Golf Association, formed in New York City on this date. And it is the Royal and Ancient. That is the name of the European one.
Yes.
They shorten that to just R&A.
R&A, yep. Very nice.
So they govern any of the rules for golf in the United States. It's the USGA, and they put on the U.S. Open. They like their rough, thick.
Yes, and their greens, lightning.
Trimming going on with those greens. 1895, German physicist Wilhelm Röntgen made the first X-ray. And he didn't X-ray himself. He did his wife. She's a brave lady.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe he had somebody on the side, and he said, well, if I lose her, I got somebody else that I can go to. Because who knows what's going to happen? X-rays. First one ever.
That was a bit of a gamble.
Yes. Are you going to get some X-rays or an MRI on that upper respiratory issue there when you go to the Mayo Clinic?
I hope so.
Now, the fact that the janitors for the Mayo that are picketing in Albert Lea, is that going to affect your appointment?
This is come heck or high water. Okay, I'm getting in there, and I'm getting answers.
And if you don't, you're going to have a battering ram. You're going to force your way in there.
And heads will roll.
So that was 1895. 1956, Kolo, who was the first gorilla to be born in captivity, was born at the Columbus, Ohio Zoo.
Kolo?
Kolo the gorilla.
Is that with a K or a...
Just a C.
Just a
Kolo.
C.
Kolo. You know, they had Kolo, and then they've had Coco, some of the other famous gorillas. They've had them at Como Park for many, many years.
Magilla
the gorilla. Yeah, there was Grape Ape. He was pretty good, too.
Yes, yes.
1961, James Davis became the first U.S. soldier to die in Vietnam. Mm. Now, the U.S. involvement, we hadn't really gone into the offensive part of the thing. They were really still only military advisors at that point, but he did perish.
That?
1961.
Wow.
He would be the first of over 58,000 on the U.S. side. That's 1961.
Brutal.
1976 here this date. Let's go to the dealing floor.
You have a car, and we're going to find out whether it belongs in your garage or in the junkyard as we open up the curtains and show you a pile of junk.
Oh, she got zonked.
Monty.
The last show of the original Let's Make a Deal with Monty Hall, the first run of the show, came to an end on this date, 1976. Okay. Monty Hall, good host for that show. He is perfect.
$50.
$50 if you have a thimble in your purse now. $50.
Right.
And the best part of that, the announcer was a Johnny. It wasn't Johnny Olson, but I think it was Johnny or Ronnie or Donnie or something.
Johnny Gilbert.
He would come down and he would bring whatever item they were using. He would bring the little tray down and then he would announce about it. So he was actually involved in the show. He was actually doing physical labor, helping out the one and only Monty Hall in 76. 1984, this was in the news.
Calling the gunman a vigilante. They say that he methodically shot four young men on a crowded 7th Avenue IRT Express just north of Chambers Street in Manhattan. The gunman said he shot them because they were trying to rob him.
The subway vigilante, Bernard Goetz.
Yeah.
Bernie Goetz, on this day, 1984, made national news as the vigilante justice started. People debated about that, whether, guns and vigilante justice. Was he
justified
in shooting those people? They were apparently going to rob him. They had weapons on them. Sharpened screwdrivers is what they had. He had a gun. Yeah. Don't take a sharpened screwdriver to a gunfight. That's good advice. So that was in 84. 1989.
That's not a sharpened screwdriver. This is a sharpened screwdriver.
Nicolae Ceaușescu overthrown as Romania's hardline communist ruler. He made Stalin look like Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
It was a popular uprising there in Romania. That was in 1989.
So you got to let me know. Should I stay or should I go?
Joe Strummer, perfect last name for a guy who plays guitar.
Yes.
He was the lead singer for The Clash. He's going to rock the Casbah. London is calling. And he's also asking the musical question, should I stay or should I go? He died of heart failure, and he was only 50 on this date. The heart can give
tune.
Heart can give in at any time.
Yep.
And 2002 is when it gave in for Joe Strummer of The Clash. Hector Elizondo, as we move to birthdays.
Mike, bad news. Curly's out for poker.
Curly's never out for poker. We set up a table at his dad's wake.
He joined Gamblers Anonymous.
What a wimp.
Yeah, I know. A real man would just keep trying to win it all back.
There he is. He's 81 today on the show. He's Tim Allen's boss on Last Man Standing.
Oh, okay.
And he was also, of course, on Pretty Woman. He was the motel manager.
Oh,
the
yep,
strict
yep,
yet sure. You know, big-hearted hotel manager who helped Miss Vivian whenever Miss Vivian needed help, because Richard Gere was one of their Hector Elizondo is 81 today. They called him Lefty. Steve Carlton is 73 today. For a short period of time, he was with the Minnesota Twins.
Yes.
1987 season, but was left off the postseason roster.
He won a couple of games there, August, September for
us. Yeah, I mean, he was a nice addition.
Yeah.
A left-hander who could start or be used out of the bullpen at that point in his career.
Yeah, so mostly, his heydays were with the Phillies.
Well, of course, 73 for him today.
Yep.
Are you a woman?
Yes, for all intents and purposes, I am a woman.
Somebody had to ask it, and who better to ask that question of the used-to-be Bruce Jenner than Diane Sawyer? She asks the tough questions, and she gets the tough answers. Diane Sawyer, newswoman extraordinaire, 72. Well, we had The Clash, and now we have Cheap Trick. Cheap Trick guitarist Rick Nielsen, he's the one who's got the five-neck guitar.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of dresses up a little weird.
Yep.
With funny colors, and sometimes he wears a beanie, I think. He was singing back up there to the song Dream Police. Cheap Trick guitarist Rick Nielsen, he's the big 69 today. Another baseball player, Steve Garvey, is 69 today. Dodgers and Padres. I just remember him. He had Popeye like forearms.
That $1 million infield of who else was on?
Ron Say, Davey Lopes, Garvey, and I can never remember the shortstop.
Bill Russell.
Russell,
yeah. Not the baseball or the basketball player, but the baseball player.
He would have been too tall to play. I don't think he'd have real good range at shortstop, being 6'9" or 6'8".
He'd be better at first base.
He could knock balls down, though, because he could block. Yeah. But Steve Garvey is 69. She was JJ's sister.
Hey, Thelma, Thelma, Thelma. Never.
She's starting to weaken.
She was Thelma Evans on Good Times, and I saw some pictures of her. She's 64, but she looks more like she's 44.
Yeah.
She has aged well. Bernadette Stanis from Good Times.
Well put together, I thought.
64, thank you for that. Mm-hmm. Luther Campbell, the rapper of Two Live Crew, he was banned in the USA. They had some raunchy lyrics, and that was before they were as accepted as they are now. 57 for Luther Campbell. Ted Cruz is 47 today. Texas senator. He was a Republican presidential nominee. I didn't realize he was so young. He's 47. Happy birthday. With a broken wing, she carries her dream. That's not Martina McBride. Young lady known as Jordan Sparks, winning American Idol Season 6. This is a tough song to do. I've heard many of people on these singing shows and competitions try to sing Martina McBride's Broken Wing, and when they try to hit that high note,
it's hard to do.
They crack up. There's the heart song, too, which is really difficult to do.
Yeah.
But Jordan Sparks is 28 today.
I'm all about that bass, by that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, by that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that.
Well, they said that the signal was a little tinny in Albany, so I thought I would play a little bass there for you. All about the bass, no treble. Neil, you know what that song's about?
Nope.
All right, you're better off not knowing. Megan Trainor, 24. Now she is a judge on one of those singing competition shows. I think it's the new one where it's four, where they already have four semifinalists, and then those four semifinalists have to battle out with other people or something. I don't know. They're really trying to reinvent these things.
Right.
And American Idol's coming back and all that kind of stuff. But she's Megan Trainor. Mm-hmm. You see her every now and then, and she's all about that bass. She's 24.
All right, gone but not forgotten today.
You have to have a good bass.
Yeah,
pretty much what you're saying. Once you have a good bass,
then you got something going on. We start with opera composer just because we like to say his name, Giacomo Puccini. Born on this day, 1858. You remember the La Bohème and Madame Butterfly. Born on this day, 1858. He was the manager that you see in the old baseball pictures that wore suit and tie.
How crazy was that?
Yeah, it was just bizarre. He's in the dugout. Everybody's got a uniform on. He's got suit and tie.
It's almost like when I was in high school, our head softball coach, girls softball, would go full uniform.
Oh, well, that's a little excessive.
It was, but that was kind of his deal.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's what it, I think they won the conference a time or two, so if that was part of the process.
Then
you
got
to do what you got to do. Method to the madness, Neil.
And certainly it worked for Connie Mack because he was pretty successful as a manager. He was in baseball, Jim, for 67 years as a player, manager, and owner. Baseball Hall of Famer Connie Mack, born on this day, 1862. Former First Lady of the day.
The other LBJ.
Is LBJ, Lady Bird Johnson. She was the wife of Lyndon Baines Johnson. Born on this day, the year was 1912. 3 years later on this day, June Cleaver, or her real name, Barbara Billingsley, was born.
And you know, she was, she spoke other languages.
Stewardess.
That's right.
I speak jive. Just hang loose, blood. She gonna catch up on the rebound on the med side.
What it is, big mama. My mama raised no dummies. I duck a rap.
Got me some slack, yeah.
Do you think Eddie Haskell ever called June Cleaver Big Mama?
I don't believe
that
so.
That might have been either the blooper or deleted scenes from a Leave It to Beaver, a very special Leave It to Beaver episode.
That would have been a rolling pin to the noggin for Eddie.
Oh, Barbara, he deserved one, too.
Barbara Billingsley, she speaks jive and was born in the state in 1915. Great clip from Airplane there. Radio and television host, he had the long, skinny microphone. He is Gene Rayburn.
When Fat Frida met the Indian chief, she said, "I love you, chief. Take me." He took one look at her and said, "Blank."
Oh, what could it be?
Fat Frida.
Charles Nelson Reilly, let's start with you.
Not all that politically correct on the old Match Game back in the 70s. Match Game 77.
Yeah, it's so good. He was great. And
Fat Frida was so fat. How fat was she?
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Gene Rayburn was that longtime host.
Of course it's good. It's the almanac.
And a favorite of the stars there. Born on this day, 1917. Then the Gibb brothers, Maurice and Robin.
This is going out to Barbara Billingsley, by the way. It's Jive Talking.
Nice.
Morris and Robin. Now, this was kind of their comeback song, Neil.
Yes.
You know, they had had kind of their pop British invasion songs of the late 60s, early 70s, and then they recorded this one. And what they did is they sent it to radio stations without a label, blank label, because the last few Bee Gees songs before that didn't do all that well. So they didn't want the negative stigma of it being a Bee Gees song. Just let them listen because it's such a departure of what they had done before.
Yep.
Venturing into the world of dance music.
They reinvented
and
themselves.
Disco. They did reinvent themselves, and they're certainly glad that they did, and I'm glad they did.
I am too.
Where would we be without the Bee Gees disco era?
Yeah, Jive Talking.
We wouldn't have had Disco Demolition Night, certainly.
So good.
Or Saturday Night Fever.
Right.
That wouldn't have been nearly as good, let's say, if somebody else had done that that soundtrack.
So. Right. They are the brothers, Morris and Robin, along with their brother Barry. Wasn't Barry Gibb?
They were the twins.
Yeah, they were
Morris
the twins.
Morris and Robin were the twins, and then Barry is their older brother.
Yeah, they're both gone.
Yeah,
they're
Barry's
both,
still around.
They're both on the gone but not forgotten list. We lost the twins. I wonder how close together they passed away. I mean, they were both fairly young.
Morris first. Morris had some kind of an intestinal thing, and then Robin was maybe 6-7 years later, at least.
They were born on this day, 1949. They're all gone, but not forgotten.
We need to come up with a almanac trivia question here.
Yeah, for the Maiden-Dixie tickets. If you can go New Year's Eve over to Monticello to the River Express, you want to ring in the new year with Maiden-Dixie, try your hand at a question like this, for example.
Yeah, I don't have one.
You don't have one?
No, let's see. There's nothing good there. Let's just take caller 10 right now. 763-450-0100. Caller 10, 763-450-0100. No almanac trivia today. I just didn't find anything good.
Okay.
763-450-0100.
Caller
10 wins. You're going to the River City Extreme Maiden-Dixie.
Four tickets, right?
Four tickets.
Nice. Well, the Lord said you had.